Let's get started. So when we started the share, I used to ask three shilas to start each share, and then we take a vote between three shilas, and then we went down to two. But I have three that I'm interested in, so maybe I'll just ask three tonight, and you'll just you'll let me know which one you want to talk about. So the first one is as follows. Hi, Rabbi Leibowitz. I was at a doctor, and they wanted a urine sample. I didn't have to go to the bathroom, though, so I drank a few cups of water to help me go. Do I make a bracha on the water? And after I use the bathroom, would I make an asher yatzar? Any mara makomos on the Indian? Okay, that is shaila number one. Okay, shaila number two. Some of you may be familiar, there's a tournament going on of high school basketball in Yeshiva University called the Sarachek Tournament. And this is a major recruiting event for Yeshiva University where we get to recruit, I guess a lot of wonderful ball players and Talmidim. And they do a Shabbaton in a hotel. They don't do the Shabbaton on campus, from what I understand, they do it in a hotel. So the Shaila was as follows from someone who's running the Shabbaton. I guess it's two Shailas, but he put it in one text, so we'll count it as one. Two Sarachek Shailas. This Shabbos is the Sarachek Shabbaton. One, a Sephardi student wants to lay in Parshas Para. Everything else is Ashkenaz, including most participants. Does it make a difference that it's Parshas Para this week? Number two, we have a Sefer Torah at the hotel for Thursday through Shabbos. Should we bring a second one for Para, or better to roll that one? Okay, that is Shaila number two, the Sarachek Shailas. Shaila number three, this is a little bit more involved and a little bit more of an emotional case, and just to let you know, I got permission from the family before discussing this, but here's how it goes. I got a text from a guy who lives in my neighborhood and goes as follows. He writes, my wife's brother died unexpectedly during COVID a year ago. He was buried here in the United States. My in-laws decided they want to move the body to Eretz Yisrael. The date is next week. They will be flying with the body Sunday and burying him on Monday. My wife will be staying behind. They told me that regarding Shiva, since we are here, I should ask my local Orthodox rabbi what she should do regarding Shiva for her. I spoke to my Rav, who is another Rav in the community, and he said that since she is not exactly sure the date the body will be exhumed and she is not traveling with the body, she would not have to sit Shiva at all. She should just try to be oblivious of the timeline. We thought it was all over, but then my mother-in-law called my wife furious that how can she not be sitting Shiva when her brothers are. I called the brother and he told me Rabbi Reisman says that they need to sit Shiva from when the plane takes off until the burial. My wife wants to make her mother happy, but does she sit Shiva for that? Or maybe that's the halacha and she is sitting for halacha. What does she do? P.S. To make it more interesting, we have a big family wedding on Sunday night. I was under the assumption she can go since no Shiva and she doesn't have to worry about her parents sitting Shiva during that time because they'll be in Israel out of the city. Does Shkia make a difference? P.S.S. I apologize for not coming with the original question, but I didn't realize it would explode into something so sticky. Okay, so that is shaila number three. So number one, how should I say that in short? Do you say a bracha if you have to drink till you pee? I guess that's a short way of saying it. Shaila number two, at Sarachek, do they bring a second Sefer Torah, and do they let a Sephardi kid lay in Para? And shaila number three, the Likut Atzamos shaila, moving the body. So let's see, let's do the in-person voting first. All those who prefer shaila number one, drink till you pee. Okay. Ooh, wow, a lot more than I thought. Okay, all those who prefer shaila number two, and shaila number three. Oh, you prefer shaila number two?
The Gamai in me prefers shaila number two.
What's that?
The Gamai in me prefers shaila number two.
Okay. And shaila number three? Okay, okay, good. Let's see what's going on over here. We got 3-3-3-1-1-2-1-1-1. Wow, I am shocked. I was sure everyone would want shaila number three. Okay, I guess shaila number one wins. It happens to be, that was the water one, right? So it happens to be that I wrote about this in my second Sefer, not about this in particular, but about saying a bracha on water. It's not always so pasha that you have to say a bracha on water. Oh, please repeat the shaila. I guess someone was late arriving. So the shaila was as follows. Hi, Rabbi Leibowitz. I was at a doctor and they wanted a urine sample. I didn't have to go to the bathroom, though, so I drank a few cups of water to help me go. Do I say a bracha on the water? And after I use the bathroom, would I say an asher yatzar? any marmakomos on this inyan. So yeah, I have a bunch of marmakomos because, as I said, I wrote a chapter in my second sefer on this topic. There is a very clear halacha that it's also the hanus melam azeh below bracha, that a person is not allowed to get a noah from this world without a bracha. Bracha staf lamed hayam ralf. However, sometimes a person drinks a little bit of water and he does not need to make a bracha because the water is not considered a hana'ah for the person. Sometimes there are situations where a person drinks not because he's thirsty, but he's drinking for some other reason. For example, he's choking and he drinks so that he won't choke, or he drinks for refuah purposes, or he drinks to prepare for a fast day and he's trying to overhydrate in advance of the fast day. Or sometimes you have a nursing woman who will drink a lot in order to produce more milk or to produce a sufficient amount of milk. Sometimes a person drinks some water because they just bit into something that has a very, very charif taste that's causing tears to come out of their eyes and smoke to come out of their nose or whatever. Or they eat something very hot and they just want to cool down their mouth. In all of those situations, drinking is not really fulfilling its primary purpose of what drinking is supposed to do, which is to quench one's thirst. So let's discuss which of those situations one should say a bracha, and for which of those situations does one not recite a bracha. So there is a very nice hakdama to this topic in the Sefer Piskei Tshuvos in Siman Reish Dalid in the Psicha Tisi'if Zayin, and he writes as follows: Hine lahavanas inyan zeh v'hadinim ha'mistafim lahalacha yesh lahaktim hakdama ketana. In order to understand this, we need a little bit of an introduction. V'hi dematzinu ladun b'poskim ha'im hana'us ha'me'ayim hi agorem eslchiyuv b'rchsanenin o anas ha'chayich v'agoron. There is a diyun in the poskim. L'diyun, it's a type of L'diyun b'poskim, whether the hana'as ha'me'ayim, whether it's the stomach's pleasure that causes a chiyuv of birchsananin, or it's the pleasant taste that causes the chiyuv of birchsananin, afal pi she'ein lo hana'a me'amei av ba'achila, even though a person doesn't have any satiation or fullness. U'maskonas ha'alach l'schashev gam ba'ana'as me'ayim, we take both elements into consideration as follows. If a person benefits in his stomach, he's hungry, he's thirsty, and he wants to eat or drink this thing, even if he gets no pleasure whatsoever from the taste of the food, if he's eating in the normal way, the chicken could taste bland, but he's hungry and it's filling his stomach, he still says a bracha on the chicken. Chayiv bebracha. If a person is not hungry, he's not thirsty, he doesn't feel he needs to fill his stomach, he doesn't feel he needs to quench a thirst, but he has to eat or drink for some other reason, some side reason, for some refuah reason or something like that, then if he gets hana'a from the taste of the food or drink, then he recites a bracha. Dal kalpanim nena grono, because at the very least he enjoyed it in his mouth. But if he doesn't benefit from the taste, then he doesn't say a bracha. So the basic rule is, the way he outlines it for us, and we'll have to see how he got there, is that if you have one hana'a or the other, either it fills your stomach / quenches your thirst, or you enjoy it while it's on your mouth, while it's on your tongue, one or the other would require a bracha. It's only when you have neither of those things that you would not require a bracha. So there is this is all based on a Mishnah in Maseches Brachos, because the Mishnah Maseches Brachos tells us that Hashosa Mayim Letzma'o Mevarich Shakol Nia B'dvaro, that if a person drinks because he's thirsty, he recites a bracha of Shakol Nia B'dvaro. Rabbi Tarfon says, you say Baruch nefashos. So the Gemara says, what do you mean shosemai mutsmo lafuke mai, as opposed to what? Why else would you drink? So Amar Avidi Baravin lafuke leman dechankase umtsa, as opposed to someone who's choking and you drink because you're choking, then you don't say a bracha. So we have very clear is two explicit cases in the Gemara. Someone who drinks because he's thirsty says a bracha, and someone who drinks just to stop himself from choking doesn't say a bracha. The Gemara does not discuss what if you're drinking water for any other reason, like you're drinking in order to swallow a pill, which is a very common reason to drink some water, or you're drinking to prepare yourself for a fast day. So let's get into some of the details, and then we'll see how this all plays out and what the halacha would be when it comes to things other than water, if this is limited to water itself as well. Now, as far as bracha achrona, when you drink in order to just to stop yourself from choking, Shulchan Aruch paskins hashosa mayim utzamo Shulchan Aruch and some reish dal siv zayin mevarich shahakol lachor barin fashos rabos avulim chankasei umtza v'shasa mayim lavir umtza einu mevarich lo lefanav lo liachrav. Shulchan Aruch says not only shakol nebivar that you don't recite if you're drinking water just to prevent yourself from choking, it is also a burn fashos rabos chazunon that you don't recite. You don't say burn fashos either. However, there is a sefer called Eshel Avram. No, there are two svarim called Eshel Avram, but the one we're quoting from is the Eshel Avram of the Prima Gadim, which is a super commentary on the Magen Avram. I used to think super commentary meant super commentary. It does not mean that. Super commentary means a commentary on a commentary. I always thought rabbis were just giving compliments to commentaries that they liked. But no, it means a commentary on a commentary, like all the commentaries on Rashi are super commentaries, because Rashi is a commentary on the Chumash. So there's the Eshel Avram written by the Prima Gadim, which is a super commentary because it's on the Magen Avram, which the Magen Avram itself is a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. But then there's the Eshel Avram Mibo Chach. The Eshel Avram Mibo Chach is Rabbi Avram Davin Mibo Chach, and he's the Chacha Rav. And he also appears in the back of the Shulchan Aruch and is a very important commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. I don't know of another major Rav named Avram David, other than my brother. My brother's name is Avram David. Those are the only two Avram Davids that I know of that are major poskim. So Aryeh Tzvi's, which I'm an Aryeh Tzvi, also very rare. The Kasha Glover Golan was a Aryeh Tzvi from her. I don't know of another one. It's a rare comment. You know, normally Tzvi Hirsch or Aryeh Leib, you don't have too many Aryeh Tzvi's. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Just thought I'd mention that. So in the Eshel Avram Mibachach, he writes that by bracha achrona, even if you're shosa shalol tzadmal, even if you drink just because you're choking, you should recite a bracha achrona, which is amazing that he had the chutzpah to argue on the Shulchan Aruch, right? Shulchan Aruch was explicit that there's no bracha rishona nor bracha achrona. So the Eshel Avram says that you do recite a bracha. So in the Piskei Tshuvas, in footnote, he says, you know, katakinan bilashono, if you look at the lashon, bracha achrona mashma dekuli alma mevarchan almayim gam shalashasan l'tzamo, and he doesn't say shashasan shalol l'tzamo. It could be he's talking about where you just drink mayim stam, where it's not because you're thirsty, but also not when you're not thirsty. And he says in that case maybe it could be you don't say bracha rishona, but you say a bracha achrona. But it could be that he's not really arguing on the mechaber, and when it's very very clear that you're not drinking even though you're not thirsty, meaning there's another purpose. You're not drinking stop. You're drinking for another purpose that has nothing to do with thirst. Maybe even the Eshel Avram would agree that there's no bracha achrona. So I think standard psak is a person drinks and he's not thirsty and he's not enjoying it. So standard psak, I think, would be that is a bracha, neither a bracha rishona nor a bracha achrona. Now, when it comes to Shar Mashkim, the Shita Mekbetza says that this p'tur of Chankase Umtza is because people normally drink water only because they're thirsty. But if you're drinking another drink, people don't only drink that because they're thirsty. Sometimes people drink Snapple because it's delicious, right? Not only because they're thirsty, so they enjoy the taste as well. So that would require a bracha, and that's what we paskin. Mishnah Berurah paskins this way as well. He says, "Dafka mayim sheina chayich nena mehem kim kishos l'tzamos." Only water, because you don't uh, you don't enjoy the taste of it. But when you drink other mashkim, or you eat chatichas pas, where you do enjoy the taste of it, even if you're only having the bread, because you just bit into a hot pepper, and that's the only reason you're eating the bread, but nevertheless, you would still recite a bracha on it, because you are enjoying the flavor. And if you're drinking you're taking a pill, and you're taking it down with Snapple, you would still recite a bracha on it, because you're enjoying the flavor, even though you're having it for another reason. The trick is nowadays, right? What's considered water and what's considered shar mashkim? You ever go down the beverage aisle in your local major supermarket? If you say, I'd like some water. Well, would you like vitamin water? Is vitamin water water? Those aren't vitamins. That's sugar, right? That's if you think there are vitamins in the vitamin water, I mean, right? There's how do you define it? Is it based on, does it look clear? Clear choice, seltzer. The science is amazing. They can make Coca-Cola look clear. They tried it once. Remember they had this marketing campaign where they made Coke clear, and people hated it. They wanted to feel like the Coke is eating away at their teeth, not just to have it. They wanted to feel it, like just penetrating their teeth and like ruining their entire insides. But you don't feel that way when it's clear. So people didn't enjoy it as much. So I think they stopped doing that. But how do you define what's called? What about just regular water? Is Poland Spring water just water? So Pashtus, yes, right? But what if you could taste the difference between Poland Spring and, I don't know if you go to Florida, Zephyrin Hills, right? Is that the one in Florida? Anyone know? So my wife always says she cannot live in Florida ever because the spring water there is disgusting. I said, oh, it tastes like water to me. She's like, no, it's disgusting. It's not water. So some people can, my wife, can. You can put in like five different, you can do a taste test, five different bottled waters, which all taste like water to me, which tastes the same agave as the water that comes out of the tap to me also, and she'll tell you which one is which. She'll be able to taste the difference in each one. So is that really something that has no taste if you only enjoy Poland Spring? So she tightens yes. She says, no, it does. The maila of the Poland Spring water is that it has no taste, meaning the taste is good because it has no taste. If it has a taste, it has an aftertaste or whatever, then that's bad water. So maybe if you live in Florida, you'd have to say a bracha on the water, and if you live in New York, you don't have to say a bracha on the water. Mineral water looks like normal water, but it's more refined and sometimes a little sweeter to the palate. So l'chora pashtus is that if people would just call it normal water, that has a din of water. So this brings us to the primary topic, which is what if you're drinking for other purposes. So what's called shosa letzama? What's called chankasei umtsa? So Mishra Brura writes nira delav dafka letzama mamish. It doesn't have to be that right before you drink, you're like, oh, I'm so thirsty. If you're drinking water, it's probably unless you have another reason for drinking it. If you're drinking water, we assume that you're thirsty, right? So he says that's the natural assumption. Because otherwise, if you weren't thirsty at all, then you wouldn't benefit from it at all. Where does that leave us as far as just trying to remain hydrated? Where a person is trying to remain hydrated. So in the Sefer Vizos HaBracha, the Sefer Vizos HaBracha used to be, I assume it might still be, the go-to Sefer on learning Hilchos Brachos. When I was in Yeshiva, when I was in Keren B'Yavna, like that was, you know, like a halacha seder. It was to learn Sefer Vizos HaBracha, because, you know, we never knew Hilchos Brachos growing up. Like, we knew that you say a mezonos on a cookie, and that you say shahakal on a cup of soda, and you wash on bread. But like, you know, and ha'etz on an apple. But beyond that, unless you were in the Brachos B, you know, like, you generally didn't know much about Hilchos Brachos. What exactly is Pasah Baba Kisne, and how much of Pasah Baba Kisne do you have to eat in order to be chayiv in washing and benching? Is mezonos bread really a thing? You know, we didn't know any of the details of any of these things. When exactly do you say Alamichya? When don't you say Alamichya? And, you know, all of these things. So it's a very, very well-written, clear Sefer in Hilchos Brachos. I think the Rav who wrote it lives in Harnov. And more recently, he came out with Volume 2 of Hashlomos and Hashmatos that he added to Sefer V'zos HaBracha. So in the Sefer V'zos HaBracha, he writes, Hashosa mayim v'nanam ha'am v'varich l'fneim sha'akol l'achreim bar nefashos. Achim enu tzame klav, you're not thirsty at all. V'shosa mayim rak l'rafua, and you're drinking just for rafua, o livloa trufa, o lahavir etzim begrono, or to swallow a pill, or to remove a bone from your mouth, from your if a person drinks just to hydrate, the eino tzame klal, the chena shosamayim berif tainis, b'kdei shlo yetzame, achar kach, or you drink on erev of a fast day, so you won't be thirsty later, but right now you're not thirsty, eino mevarech. You do not say a bracha, says the Sefer, v'zos ha-bracha. But he says, if you're also thirsty and you're drinking the water because you're thirsty, and also for refuah purposes, then you would make a bracha. Now, this comes up in much earlier tshuvas. There's a tshuva Binyan Zion, Simon Yud, where he said that someone asked him about drinking mei mayanos shekorin mineral vaser. That he writes in the Chuvas Binyan Sion, that they call mineral vaser, that they drink for refuah. Do you say a shahakol? And he says, Shara'a lahagon Rabbeinu Elyo Mivilna Zal, pretty famous rabbi, Rabbi Elyo Mivilna, who said, Shekasa b'chivuro shnos Eliyahu, al masnisin hashos mayim l'tzamo, pirish dafka l'tzamo, v'shlo l'tzamo l'var klal, that the whole idea of choking is not, meaning you have two rules. You have, if you're drinking because you're thirsty, you say a bracha. If you drink because you're choking, you don't say a bracha. And what if you're drinking for neither of those reasons? So Rabbeinu Eliyahu Mivilna said that the only rule is that if you're when we say chankasa, that if you drink because you're chankasa yumtza, you don't say a bracha. That is not the rule. If you drink because you're thirsty, that is the rule. Anything short of thirst, you would not say a bracha. The Binyan Zion himself disagrees, and we're not going to get into all the details. But one thing that I wanted to mention before we get to the bottom line over here, Rav Asher Weiss has a tshuva in Minchas Asher Chelik Beis Simin Yud Zayin, which, by the way, a lot of people are asking nowadays, like, who's the biggest person around, right? I mean, Chaim Kanievsky was known as the world's biggest bucky, and his bekius was like unfathomable. The level of big, like it's really like different level. I don't know if he was the biggest posek around. He wasn't. Yeah, he didn't view himself as a posek, because a posek has to be familiar with metzius also, and that wasn't, you know, really his thing to look into, you know, this nuances of the situation or whatever. But by far, it seems he was the biggest bucky around. Rabbi Yisrael Reisman keeps telling he says over two things that demonstrates Rav Chaim Kanievsky's bekius. One thing he says that both are in time of the Krah, Sefer HaChumash. One is that Rav Chaim Kanievsky writes in time of the Krah that someone told him that the Vilna Gaon writes that the reason a get is called a get is because Gimel and Tes are two letters that are never juxtaposed in the Torah. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky says in Tanakh, so he says Tzarech Iyun because there are four other combinations that are also never juxtaposed. He did not know how to use a computer. He ran through Tanakh in his head and realized that there are four other combinations of letters that are never juxtaposed out of however many 22 squared, you know, combinations of letters that he realized that there. Now I would challenge you: take a page, one page, of any book. Read the page 1,000 times. Spend all day reading the page and see if you can tell me afterwards which letters are juxtaposed on that page and which letters are not juxtaposed on the page. Like, to really, meaning we say sometimes when we say that someone's a bucky, he knows it like he knows Ashrei. A lot better than I know Ashrei, right? Meaning, I know Ashrei means I could say the words of Ashrei by heart, you know, but this is a lot better than I know Ashrei. It's unfathomable. The other example he gives is, he said that someone asked whether you can give a boy's name to a girl or a girl's name to a boy, meaning, are there unisex names, right? If you're naming after someone, let's say the name Yonah sometimes is used for a boy or for a girl. The biblical figure was a boy. If you're naming after the bird, right, it's probably a girl, right? So you know, there are names. Ariel, I've heard that as a boy's name and as a girl's name, right? So they asked Chaim Kanievsky, can you ever have such a thing? He said, yeah, there are 33 of them in Tanakh. he remembered every name in Divrei HaYamim. You know, it's like, it's not even fair. Like, and he knew who they were talking about. So that's, you know, that's pretty unbelievable. So how did I get to that? Oh, so I was thinking about, like, who's the biggest person around? So I don't know. Is Rav Asher Weiss the biggest person around? Biggest posek around, probably. Is there any more important posek? Bisman Hazeh? Couldn't think of anyone. I'm sure I'll get emails. Well, what are you talking about? This one, that one. I don't know. I don't know if there's a bigger posek. But anyway, so Rav Asher Weiss and Chelik Beisim in Yud Zayin. I heard in Rabbi. I'm trying to listen to as many of Chaim Kanievsky like as Beidim as I can, because you know I'm very inspired by these things. And I was listening to Rabbi Breidowitz from Or Sameach, and they said the Talmidim asked him. The Or Sameach Talmidim very very often very tzmimistik, and a lot of them are recent Bali Tshuva. And he said, who would you go to now if you have a shayla that you can't answer? They asked Rabbi Breidowitz, who himself is a brilliant Talmud Chacham. And so it's interesting. He didn't say it, but you could tell he was thinking, I didn't go to Rav Chaim Kanievsky before with my shaylas. You don't go to Rav Chaim Kanievsky with your shaylas. You go when you have a kasha and learning and you need a marimakom or something. That was his kalach. You don't go to, I mean, unless you're writing a book and you need to advertise on the front of your book, Im chuvas me I go to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and all the chuvas are lo kein, lo ulai, you know, whatever. What? That's what? Oh, yes, that is the end of Zos HaBracha. Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay, so but Rabbi Breidowitz said, Rav Asher Weiss, he can answer any shaila that there is. And he said, maybe Rav David Cohn in America, but, you know, Rav Asher Weiss. There's no bigger possibility. So anyway, so Rav Asher Weiss writes over here. Rav Asher Weiss is also very creative, right? So he writes, V'rabi mechei nogim lishtos bizmanim ketzuv ma'af k'shein margishim simon. You ever go on one of those diets? Like, you got to drink a cup of water every X amount of time, or, you know, or for whatever reason. Let's say you donated a kidney, so they tell you have to take care of your one kidney that you have, so you got to drink a lot of water. So you try to be very makbid that you drink water at certain intervals, but you're not thirsty. V'neshalti him levarik shakul. You say a bracha on that. He says you have to say a bracha on such a thing because it's only if you're choking that the mayim has no tachlis bifnei atzma. It's just a way to enable you to swallow your food. But if you're drinking for tzorche gufo, that's called shosamayim litzmo. Litzmo doesn't mean that you're thirsty. It means that you're drinking for the purpose of tzorche gufo, and that's considered tzorche gufo. He says, you know, he says, I'll bring you a raya. Pasuk says in Shmos Yud Zayin, Lahamis osi ve'esbanai ve'esmiknai betzama, to kill us with thirst, right? He says, I don't understand. A person who's not going to die of thirst a person doesn't die of thirst, a person dies of dehydration. So it's not thirst, that tzama doesn't mean thirst. Summer means hydration. Because if you're talking about dying of thirst, no one dies of thirst. You die of dehydration. It doesn't matter whether you're thirsty or not. If you're dehydrated, that's what. So he says, V'nira, Dikshamru, Ashosa, Mayim, Litzmo, Enakvana, Dafkal, Mishosa, Kishu, Margish, Tzame, Elkol, Ashosa, Mishum, Tzorech, Haguf, Bemayim, Vilno, Tzame. Meaning, if your body needs the water for whatever reason it needs it, whether it's to prepare you for a fast day, or whether it's to prepare you for, you know, to just keep you hydrated. Now, what about our case? Let's bring it back since we're in the last 2 minutes over here. What about our case? What would you say? Would the person say bracha rishona? A person, again, the case was he has to go to the doctor, he has to give a urine sample. He can't produce the urine unless he drinks. So he's drinking in order to produce urine. What would you say? I thought it was Zavr Pasha, then even Rav Asher Weiss in this case would say not to say bracha. I thought that's like chaseyum. So meaning there's clearly an ulterior motive that has nothing to do with nourishing your body. Meaning when you're drinking to hydrate, you're trying to nourish your body. Over here, you're clearly drinking not to nourish your body. You're just drinking because you need to produce a sample in order that the doctor should be able to check it. Now, the fellow asked, what about Asher Yatzar? So do you say Asher Yatzar? I can't imagine why you wouldn't say Asher Yatzar. Adrava. I would think this is Gufa. You know, this is exactly the point. You're trying to say that the body works, which is exactly what you're trying to, you know, to accomplish and to prove and to test for, that everything works properly. So if everything works properly, I would think for sure that that a person would say Asher Yatzar. I don't understand the Havamin and not say Asher Yatzar. What about a Bari Nefashos? So again, subject to that machlokas between the Mechaber and the Yesh Lev Rami Bajaj. But when you have machlokas, Mechaber and Yesh Lev Rami Bajaj, 9 times out of 10, you're going to pass like the Mechaber, especially when Achronim say that the Yesh Lev Rami Bajaj never really meant to argue on the Mechaber. So I would think over here, there would be no Bari Nefashos either. Just like there's no Shakol Niyab Devaro, there would also be no Bari Nefashos either. Now, as far as the other two Shabbos, I guess, you know, some other time maybe we'll get to them. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you all for joining.